Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fueled Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I am your host, Danny Vega, and I'm by myself because Maura is in the sauna right now. And I just wanted to take a second to first give a big shout out to my podcast manager, my on-call hero, whom I love very much, and so does Maura, and he doesn't get enough credit, and that is Chris Duckett. Guys, Chris is the guy who does all my sound editing, all my video stuff, YouTube. I've introduced him to a bunch of people that he's now working with. And I had to give him a quick shout out today because he's always on me about recording my intros and all the things that I don't do on time to make his life harder. So I had to give him a quick shout out. And we decided to go away from the intros before the guest comes on because we're always so busy. We'll record like three or four podcast episodes at a time. And then we'll just say, oh, we'll just record the intros later. And it just doesn't work out well. So we're going to go back to introducing people live on the recording, but we're just going to try to keep the banter to a minimum so that we don't keep our guests waiting. But I wanted to introduce you guys to someone who you probably already know, and that is one of my close friends, Roy Ross. He's a tactical conditioning specialist, aspiring yoga teacher, and a 20-year Army veteran whose soldiers affectionately call him Colonel Keto due to his open admiration for the low-carb lifestyle. After falling out of shape and struggling to maintain military fitness standards, Roy now prides himself on being a model of physical fitness and helping others meet their physical goals. Spending a lifetime developing the art of leadership, Roy specializes in balancing empathy with accountability, optimizing performance and total body transformations. We get into a bunch of great subjects, one of which is his new supplement company called Black Star Nutrition. You can check that out at blackstarnutrition.com. That's BlackStarNutrition.com, Black Star Nutrition with two R's. You can check them out at Ross Optimize. That's Ross_Optimize on Instagram. And you can also check them out at Keto Conduct, KETOKONDUCT. That's him and his wife, Sandra. And they're just great people. And we hope you guys enjoy this episode. And Chris, thanks for waiting, brother. And you guys have a great day and enjoy this episode. What's that?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
It's just my keto brick.
Keto brick? What's a keto brick?
Well, keto brick, well, it's an actual brick, which is awesome because it lasts me a really long time. Can't say the same for you.
Nope.
But keto brick is an awesome keto-friendly snack that it could be used so many ways, you guys, seriously. But it is keto-friendly, high-fat, low-carb, has really, really good macros. It's shelf-stable, which I love because I like to take it with me when I leave the house with the kids. And it's got no sweeteners, none of the crap that we're usually staying away from. So no allulose, erythritol, corn fiber, soy, any of that stuff that we're usually avoiding. But it makes such a great snack. I also love it just as a treat. I like to put it in my coffee and the kids love it. So that's a plus.
I totally agree. And I have one of these every single day.
An entire brick.
Yeah, I like to, everybody knows I like to crush mine up into cereal and have it like a cereal. My current favorite flavors are peanut butter and chocolate peanut butter cup, which we have right here next to us. What about you?
I really love the peanut butter because it's nice and smooth, but my other favorite flavor would probably be toasted coconut.
Yeah, toasted that almond coconut really is amazing. And yeah, of course, as you all know, we are great friends with the owners of this company, Robert Sykes and Crystal Sykes. And both of them, when this started, they were just wrapping these things up in aluminum foil and shipping them out themselves, pulling all-nighters. And here we are several years later. It's an amazing company, guys. They have vegan options, vegan-friendly options, as well as whey options. So the two flavors that I mentioned are chocolate peanut butter cup and peanut butter. And the chocolate peanut butter cup is whey, and the peanut butter is with the pea protein. So if you don't tolerate whey, no worries. Or if you're on a vegan diet, no worries. You can have the peanut butter. So guys, click on the link in the description of this podcast episode and check out the Keto Bricks ASAP. It gets the Fat Fuel Family seal of approval. Anything else?
No, that's it. It makes a really great snack. A little trick, I will just give one last tip, is if you want to melt it down, I like to melt it down and put it in little molds to make it just bite sizes for the kids, because it's a brick.
It is a brick. Get your Keto Bricks.
Do it.
Roy, what's up, bro? How you been, man?
What's going on, y'all? I'm doing well. Glad to see you guys.
So good to see you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. And I see you got your, is this your setup? Is this what you're going to be using when you do your podcast?
No. So I have another podcast setup. I use a Rodecaster Pro.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
And with pod mics and things like that, a little mixer. So I didn't want to have to deal with too many apps and stuff. So this will run the whole thing, and it's you don't need a computer hooked to it. You can, but you can just set it up like this and take it anywhere you want and throw the mics on there and get to getting.
That's the best, man. We've been.
We should get one of those.
Mike, I want to know if
Is that what Mike uses?
I'm gonna ask him because Mike Mutzel does all his stuff. Like, he's always traveling.
Yeah, he's always doing it on the road.
What type of research did you do? Did you ask around or did you just kind of find it on your own?
You know, I watched some YouTube videos, man, and
people
were saying that it was just really an easiest setup, and I got the mic that went with it, and so it does. Like, the equalizer is all set up for that mic, and it's really plug and play. So even though I'm a IT guy, I really like vanilla. I like the ease of use.
That's why I use Apple.
Exactly.
Of course, Apple universe.
Yep.
I agree. So we're super excited to get into this conversation, but we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem that you're currently trying to solve?
All right. So when I was thinking about this, I was going to talk about how I was going to, you know, cure world hunger and fix the health and wellness issue in the Black community. But the reality is that my 50 meter target right now is the health and fitness in the military, right? So what I'm trying to do is create a efficient, effective fitness and nutrition program, but that's geared towards the reserve and National Guard elements of the military, right?
And people who are working that, you know, separately, and
yes,
they got their own lives. Yeah,
so they could be a doctor, a lawyer, a construction worker, but then they also have this other job where they have to come in and serve the country. And we recently just implemented a new fitness program, and not a program, but a new fitness test, right? And it went from the basic push-up, 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, and then a 2 mile run, to now it is a six portion test where you start off with you go to a deadlift.
And it's by body weight, right?
No.
So oh, it's not?
You do a deadlift, and there is and it's standard. So there's no variance in the standards for a man or a woman. Everyone's held to the same standard. And so now it has a deadlift, a over the head medicine ball toss. There's a hand release push-ups. There's a sprint drag carry where you're pulling a sled with 90 pounds on it. You have a farmer's carry. Like I said, you're sprinting. Also, in that we have knee tucks, and then you have also, and with all of those elements, you still have, after those five events, an additional 2 mile run. So that has completely changed everyone's, outlook on the fitness test. Before, you could be like, okay, all I need is a few weeks and I can knock this out. I can run a couple, do some push-ups in between, you know, breaks, and I can be ready in, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. This, you got to be fit all the time, as well as having the proper body composition to be able to do that strength and that functional fitness. So I've been really, really working on helping my soldiers, as well as others that come to me with help, get prepared for this new test.
Dude, I love that. I think that's awesome. It's more functional. It's more well-rounded. It's more real world. And like, you know, this whole, like, if you notice, so we had sit-ups, push-ups, either 1.5, was it 1.5 or was it 12 minutes he had to do, or was it always 2 miles?
So it was 2 miles, and the old test was separated, or the standards were based on either male or female and then your age, right? So once you get older, it actually goes kind of out of pyramid. So once you're going up and once you hit about 27 or 30, that would be like, hey, those are the hardest standards. And then as you get older from there, it kind of gets lower and lower and lower. Now, it doesn't matter if you're 53 years old, you have to do the same standards that the 18-year-old that just joined.
That's really good news to me, man. Yeah. I don't think standards are something that you need to be changing with the times, like we do with testosterone and we do with cholesterol and we do with all this stuff where we just increase this huge range. And it's like, I'm healthy, but it's like the healthy.
You're allowing people to be basically weaker.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true.
Yeah. And then, you know, just before I ask the next question, because I did want to mention this, because like Mauro and I talk about this all the time, because growing up in Miami, you know, like where we lived, people, it wasn't like they were poor, but it was like a lot of that, like, you know, that lifestyle of like everything right in front of you, where it's like you got a bill next week and you got to. And so
paycheck
that's
to paycheck.
Paycheck to paycheck. So whether you're, you know, in Miami or you're in Baltimore or you're in, you know, the inner city somewhere, like we've always said, like, what will we do as far as, because like these people are eating fast food anyways.
Oh, like how we're going to cure everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, guys, the Wendy's patty diet. Like, yeah. Easy.
Just so, tell them, like, you don't even got to change too, where they're going.
Because they're
going
to eat the fast food anyways. And it's like, just eat the burger patties. Just get a bunch of burger patties. And poor things, they're probably honestly trying to eat salads, which I feel bad.
Yeah.
They're probably not trying to eat anything.
Well, some people don't have any type of even mindfulness as to, like, you know, maybe they think that calories is a thing, you know, but they don't really know about like nutrient timing or like fat and carbs and how you could play with that.
Yeah.
Like the one guy, we were stranded on Saturday. We were going to the beach, and the guy who comes to tow my truck, you know, he sees I'm in my beach wear. So like, you know, muscles are popping out and
muscles,
stuff. And,
Danny, gains
all over the place.
Danny acts like if he doesn't wear tank tops all the time.
Yeah,
like, what do you mean you're in your beach wear? That's how you go everywhere to dinner.
Like it was new. Like it was new.
Yeah, like it was an event.
He put on his special beach attire.
Hey, no, so I saw Danny in, last year.
January?
Last year in the wintertime, last January.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And it was freezing.
No.
And this fool's still wearing a tank top.
Yeah, I went. They dare me to go outside in the, it was like 9 degrees
That's
or something.
Not a dare. He likes it.
Yeah, I love it.
He's like, yes. Anyways, the Wendy's patties.
So yeah, man, just the Wendy's patties. Like, but the guy was like, you know, all right, just one question. Is it diet or is it, you know, is it something else? I'm like, it's diet, 100% diet. And I just kind of just broke it down for him. Like, you could do so much good just with a little bit of education. Just be like,
yeah.
And then once they're like eating the patties, now they can branch out. Now that maybe they do want to cook at home, but like at the very least, just
you can get some good meat at Walmart. We get ground beef at Walmart. We get
not anymore.
Yeah, but guys, not anymore. Guys, why would somebody do the meat patty diet? And the reason why I ask that is this. Now I agree with you.
Yeah,
right.
That's the easiest thing, right? But if you look at it, vegans, vegetarians, they do a much better job of advertising to the masses, right? You always see impossible meat burgers. You see all this stuff all over, right? Now, you can walk into the store and find keto stuff on the shelves, but it's all keto treats. It's nothing that is the staple that we should be eating, right? So if you tell someone, hey, you know, it's easy. If you go to In-N-Out or you go to Wendy's, just get four meat and cheese patties and you're good. And they'll be like, man, you trying to kill me.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's so true.
100%. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So why would they do that? And to us, it's so easy. It's like, hey, you don't even have to think about it. Just get this. But the society, the USDA, and we have programmed people to believe.
And they're scared.
Hey, the rest of, when you get a burger, the rest of the stuff is good. The bad part for you is the meat and cheese part.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's so true. And like, I see it. How often do we see it? Because we know people who are LEOs or fire, and it's like, my whole firehouse is going vegan. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, like, you, all these men, a lot of them are like in their 40s. You oh know, gosh, the last the thing hormones. They need is for their estrogen to go up and all that stuff. And it's like, but yeah, but still. But yeah.
They're already weak sauce. They want to take their testosterone down. Yeah. I'm like, what? I mean, not that firefighters are weak sauce. I'm just saying, as you get older.
Yep.
It starts to go down, yeah. Right? And then you want to ruin it more? Like, come on, really?
Yeah, but you're right. It's just we are battling against, like, this mass agenda of, like, the marketing and everything that we're taught, and even doctors. And it's just, it's tough because it's true. You need that education piece because, you know, people, they just see us. They'll, like, be like, okay, well, I believe you because you, fine, you look the way you do, but they won't take it for themselves, you know, like they're not like, well, I can eat.
Yeah, like I need to get healthy first.
Right.
And eat my salad and then I can eat my meat maybe when I'm healthy.
Well, because it's twofold, right? Because even if, you know, they're going vegan, and to them, they're saving themselves and they're saving the world, right? If we want to go green, you got to cut down on your red meat consumption.
Yeah.
So smart the way they work with your psychology.
Oh my gosh. It's genius.
So, going back to like this, but I love the idea. I think it's smarter to do like there's a sphere of influence that you have credibility and authority already. And so it makes perfect sense that you're going to be more successful there than you would be with that other thing. But maybe that's something that's like later on that you kind of just, when you have more resources, when Black Star Nutrition is just like off the charts, you know, that's like why we do some of the things that we do, because like we think about how much more we can help certain people, like our friends, like their gym. They don't make anything on their gym. It's like it's an act of service for them to even stay open, because all the yeah. people that are obese who don't want to go to another gym.
Yeah,
people. So it's like if you go to Average Joe's, you take Average Joe's away, you know, like they don't got anywhere to play dodgeball. You know,
right?
you gotta keep Average Joe's open.
You know, they try to get out there and compete with the Purple Cobras.
Forget it. Those guys, forget it. Like, they got, like, you know, women who are men. Actually, that's a normal thing now. So, but let's talk about this. You're a tactical conditioning specialist. You know, you're working with people. They're getting ready for PT tests. You got maybe people, some of these people, they're looking to you for help with selection, getting ready for selection. Where does the low carb, is the low carb part of the conversation? How do they respond to it, and then how do they perform if they do incorporate like a low carb ketogenic diet?
You know, so it's always part of my conversation, right? So I always want to bring the low carb lifestyle into it, but it's something that you have to ease into this community. Now, when you look at it and you try to when you look at the events or the things that we do in the tactical world, whether it is, you know, LEO, fire, anything like that, a lot of the things that we do are all anaerobic. It's very few things that we do are aerobic. That's why there's always a big argument of why are we doing the 2 mile run at the end? Like if I have to run 2 miles in combat, it's probably over for me.
Yeah. Right?
So a lot of the stuff that we do is anaerobic. So saying that we're going to take out all of the carbs is it's a tough pill to swallow. It's kind of hard to work that in, right? And so what I do is I typically start people with what I call like the pro zone macros, right? Or very close to pro zone macros.
Okay.
And so people are like, well, what's that?
Like the zone?
So like the zone.
Yeah,
right?
Like 30,
so,
30, 40.
Yeah, so zone 30-30-40, right? So 30% protein, 30% fat, 40% carbs, right? So what I do is I switch that, though, and I go 40% protein, 30% fat, 30% carbs to start. And so what does that come out to, right? So for most people, what that will do is that will get them close to around their body weight with protein, right? And then it'll also, for the carbs, it'll also keep them below 150 grams of carbs, right? And now when you think about it, most people are pushing close to twice to three times their body weight of carbs each day. And this one will hold them to under, even someone my size. Now, I'm 6'1", 235 pounds, right? And if I'm doing this diet, I will be below 150 grams of carbs per day. And then with that, I also try to make it with a targeted, you know, a targeted approach where those carbs are surrounded around the workout, either before or after, right? And then so with that, they have the rest of the day to be as close as fat fueled as they can while using those carbs for the anaerobic activities that they're participating in.
That's awesome. And like most of the time, like if they're active, PT is going to be at 5:30, 6:30, 7 a.m. So like they could load those carbs up in the morning, and then like later in the day, even if they stop eating like at 8 p.m., but their last meal didn't really have many carbs, they probably like, you know, getting into like maybe even a little bit of ketosis, depending on how insulin sensitive they are and how active they are. So like, I think that's great, man. Like that's the type of approach that I like take if I'm trying to help a guy who's a fighter. Because like fighters in the off season, you could do them strict keto, you know, but then when they start, yeah, especially if they're prepping for like a jiu-jitsu tournament, like where they're, let's say they're doing like 5 or 7 minute rounds with a fresh new body and they're just going, you know, like they're going to need carbs, yeah, you know, cause
yeah, they're not going to make
yeah.
it right.
Yeah. So, but at the very least, like you said, you get them into a low carb lifestyle, people will become fat adapted. Like we talked about fat adaptation like 10 years ago when we were eating paleo, you know, and we were probably having like 150 to 200 sometimes, you know, unless we wanted to lean out. If we noticed that we were getting a little fluffy, we would cut out the sweet potatoes and the agave.
They're so good though.
They are so good.
Like nature's candy.
It is, man. So good. Yeah. The kids are eating it. The boys are still eating it.
Yeah, the boys eat it.
What'd they have today, by the way?
They had fricasse de pollo with tostones and rice. Yeah.
Yeah. So our next door neighbor is Puerto Rican, and she cooks these kids a hot lunch every single day.
Really?
And like they eat awesome.
They like kings.
But they eat all the meat first, and then the rice is what's always left over. So like
it's a ton.
They have like maybe like 20 grams of carbs from rice.
They don't even eat that much of
rice.
They'll eat like the plantains.
The fried plantains with tostones.
Yeah, man. Hey, when I come through this summer, yes. I need you guys to make sure that your neighbor hooks me up with some mofongo.
She makes the best.
She honestly, everything is good. It's ridiculous. She made a salad the other day. I was like, this is the best salad I've ever eaten.
And Cubans don't do good salads. Cubans suck at salads, but Puerto Ricans can do it too.
You know, when someone, she enjoys.
She'll be there sitting there watching you eat it. She just wants to see you eat.
And that's that extra love. It's what makes the difference because she enjoys it so much. So she does it for our boys and they love it. But
it's got to be around our workout though.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To keep it targeted. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have fun, man. I'm going to introduce you to Ben. We'll go to MI40.
Yeah,
we'll take you to Terra Gaucha. We'll find some good, there's not a lot of good Cuban food, but we'll eat hot, home cooked Puerto Rican food.
Yeah, she'll do it.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
That's awesome. So you're working on several new projects. Let's first start with your nutrition company. So Black Star Nutrition. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all started? Who's involved? And, you know, what type of products that you will be releasing for us?
All right. So with Black Star Nutrition, it was kind of something that my wife, Sandra, and I had been thinking about for a while since we got kind of back into fitness, right? So growing up, I was an athlete and, you know, the military, I lost my way, got a little out of shape. But then as I worked my way back into the fitness lifestyle, you know, first you start off with nutrition, but then you start working with a lot of different supplements, right? And I remember I tried this pre-workout one time and it had so many artificial like colors and flavors that it turned my poop like greenish purple.
Oh, yeah.
It happens to the kids
every time they go to a birthday party. They're like, what happened to my poop? I'm like, well, you ate blue cake.
No, that's a tie. Yeah. Exactly, right? And then so I'm like, okay, we got to have something that's clean, right? We can't be trying to get healthy on the outside when our inside is being poisoned by all of these supplements that aren't quality, right? And so being in the low carb space and hanging out with everybody, you get to learn a lot of different things about nutrition formulation and what's good, what's actually good for your body, what you are sacrificing purely for fitness, right? Because a lot of people don't realize a lot of the stuff that you do in fitness may not be the best for your body in real life as opposed to your goals, right? Whether you're powerlifting or you're a cyclist or whatever, there's always something, you're a marathon runner, there's always something about it that you're sacrificing in order to meet that goal. So how can I create and have the best supplements I can without doing any additional damage to my body, right? And so the first products that we came out with are, and you know, I like to have cool names with everything.
I love it.
Envy. Envy is our green supplement. You know, green with envy. I don't know. I thought it was cool, right? And then we have Clarity, and Clarity is our nootropic. And then Pure is our probiotic. And then we have Glow, which is our
collagen drink, right?
Yeah. And so with the collagen, we have a peach mango flavor, and then we also have a an unflavored collagen that you can mix in your coffee and things like that. And then right now we're working on the taste testing and formulation for our protein/meal replacement supplement, which is called Build.
Nice. I love it.
Right? So with that, we're initially coming out with a chocolate and a vanilla flavor. But as we all know, like, not all chocolates and vanillas are built the same. But,
yeah.
But our build product is going to be great. It's going to have some MCTs in there. It's going to have digestive enzymes. So it's a great product. It's high quality protein, easily digestible. So like we said, we want it to taste great, but we also want it to be good for you, be, low carb and to be naturally flavored, right?
Yeah.
I love that. And so that's a powder, maybe later on and are ready to drink, or is it just a powder?
No, so an RTD would be great. You have to look into that, because when you get into the ready to drink,
preservatives, right?
There has to be preservatives and stuff in there, and you got to make sure there's a fine line on, okay, it's shelf stable for this amount, or hey, I just got a whole buttload of preservatives in there, and then with the taste. So definitely powder first, but then I'd love to have an RTD because the convenience, you can't really beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So Sandra, what's Sandra doing with this?
Oh man. So Sandra is, she loves it, right? So she loves, her two favorite products are the collagen product. So the Glow, and she loves the Pure, right? So when you mix those two products together, it clears your skin. It actually gives you this glow. It's like a lights, camera, action stack, right? And so she's taking those two together. Plus, it's funny, if you follow her Deco Curves or on our Keto Conduct page, she was showing how she had surgery, right?
Oh, yeah, for healing.
And so she just had surgery. She's not hiding it. She had that cosmetic surgery, and because she had a massive weight loss, right? And then so with that, she got some things touched up. But then that collagen supplement is really helping her get back on track, helping her heal a little quicker, and helps with the scarring and things like that. So she is definitely like on point with that regimen on taking, make sure you get me my Glow in the morning, right? We have our eye opener, which is the Envy drink and the peach mango collagen. Mix it together, and it tastes like Starbucks, or not Starbucks, Jamba Juice.
Oh man, I haven't had Jamba Juice. Remember we used to have that back in the day? Man, that's great, bro. I love it.
That's awesome.
I was trying to think of something else with that. No, I think that's basically it. So that's perfect, man. Everybody needs to be, beefing up their probiotics. Like, we do so much in our lives to just sterilize our guts. And like, that's part of like anybody who's detoxing, just adding a good probiotic, that alone is going to help him so much. So those are like high impact, quick impact products. I love it, man.
I love it.
Yeah, the basics, man. Nothing special out of this world, just like the basics.
Yeah, and I love the branding. I'm like a sucker for like the branding.
Yeah.
The names.
That's why when I take a picture and stuff, like I got to run things by her because she's all about like the aesthetics and the branding.
The marketing, yeah.
Oh, tell her.
You know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, tell Maud about this because I think I still think it's a great thing that I think it doesn't go away forever. I think you put it on some t-shirts or, you know, a special edition product. I think you keep it, but I know.
Yeah, you know, so when I was creating the logo for the product, I really fell in love with this font.
The font.
And I don't even know the name of
it. I don't either.
Right? But
I've seen it somewhere.
Yeah, but
on
it's
Splice.
Oh, on Splice.
Yeah. So as soon as I dropped the font, it was almost like I bought a new car, right? So when you buy a new car, you look out and then you see everybody driving the same car. Well, I started dropping these products and then I looked and Danny had all over his Instagram. And yeah. I'm just like, man, this dude then stole my font, even though he hadn't even seen it yet because I had just got ready to drop it and he was using it.
That's no wonder because I'm telling you, like, I was like, that looks really familiar, the font. But I like it. It's so good, though. Yeah. It's good, though. But, yeah, I get it.
So when I went to go drop it, I was like, hey, I want something that's kind of street, you know, back to our, you know, our
90s,
hip-hop roots kind of deal. 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
But then my man started using it, so I had to get a new one.
Yeah. But there's got to be, like, other, like, graffiti-style, like, different fonts.
No. So I'm going to be dropping the new logo and kind of doing a relaunch here soon. And so I'm going to drop the new logo for everybody. Black Star. It's kind of futuristic. It's still street luxury. You know, to show that everybody's getting the quality product, but with our hip hop roots, it's gonna be awesome. But I just want to say that the reason why I'm gonna have such a cool new logo is because of Mr. Danny Vega.
I'll take it.
Bite
I'll take
style.
The credit.
Took all the fonts.
Just give me the just
he
give
took
me
all the
clout.
Spice fonts and bangers. If you're ever on
oh
Canva.
Bangers, yeah. Bangers, bangers is my favorite.
That's like his favorite font ever.
Yep.
Oh, yeah? I got to check that out. I love Canva.
Just go to my Instagram. Anything you see with a font.
All those, like, neon, like, you'll see the font bangers.
It's so just funny. Like, it's just block lettering. It just reminds me of, like, a throw up.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
So, all right, we got Black Star Nutrition. We got the Sit Rep podcast. Tell us about, like, what's the idea behind the show? I know it's targeted. You know, what can we expect? And then, and tell us about your co-host, Kenny, and, you know, why this all came about.
Oh man, so I'm so excited for the Sit Rep podcast. So what it is my buddy and I, we actually work together. We're both in the military, we're both vets, and with that, we decided, as we're talking, we had a lot of similar views on a lot of stuff, but not the same, right? So we are chatting on about issues that pertain to military veterans, but you can also look at it and it affects everyone because it talks about stuff that's going on in the nation. It talks about dealing with the youth. It talks about how to deal with your funds, being conservative versus middle of the road versus liberal. Like, we talk about so much stuff that veterans talk about, and we have such a, like, we have a slightly different view and a spin on these items that sometimes causes quite a little explosion during the podcast. But it's so funny because the thing with both of us is neither one of us have a filter.
That's good.
That works great.
So we're chatting. Hey, I'm telling you. So we're chatting about this stuff and we're kind of arguing and making fun of each other. And it's great, man. So we both, you know, we're both in the military. We both like to go and shoot guns and, you know, protect our country, right? So it's not overly patriotic, but it's definitely fun. Definitely fun. I advise everyone to go check it out. It's going to be on all platforms. And then my man Ken, I call him Kenny Ray Cyrus. He's a funny guy. He's a real funny guy. So he likes to, he's very self-deprecating. So he talks about how he's, how he's a short, fat, white guy, but he's not really. I mean, he is short. He is a white guy, but he's not fat. He's in pretty good shape, and he's a real, real smart guy, and we just have a good time.
I love that, man. I think people don't understand the military. I do because we're around so many people. But people tend to use the word military like they use white or black, or it's like the military. It's like this monolithic thing. And it's like, I'm at the gym. I have conversations with all types of friends from the military, and they come from all types of different walks. They're all, you know, trained to like, you know, serve the country. That comes before anything. So it doesn't matter what. And I think a lot of people in America don't see that. So it's going to be good to hear different opinions. And I think it's good to have, anytime you can get someone to talk with someone who's they're comfortable with and they're friends, and kind of show people again what it's like to have a normal conversation. Like, I talk about this all the time. In the 90s and in the early 2000s, you could be like, oh, don't talk to Roy, he's a Democrat, or like, or don't talk to so-and-so because he's a Republican. And it was a joke. It was like, ha, ha, ha. Like, it's like, ha, yeah, you want more taxes. It's like Jocko talks.
And them is fighting words
now. It's just like, it's now like it's people like, won't wear, people will not take off their masks because they're going to be confused for Republican. Yeah. To me, that's insane.
That's insane.
You know, like that, that's like, you know, anyways. So like Jocko talks about this, how he did a really good episode on 1984 and how the book was so brilliant, because in the book, the whole thing is that if you can control a language, you can control a mind. Because like it gets, if you can control the language enough to the word doesn't even exist anymore, you wouldn't even be able to know what it's like to see what true freedom is. And I see this in today's dialogue much. It's happening so much. So where it's like if you say that you're in support of unions, you're a communist. If you say that you're in support of gun rights, like you are, you know, the Unabomber. Like, and it's like, it's this like polarization. There's only one side. How many times do you hear like what the other side says? I'm like, what about the other side and the other side? So
yeah,
I just think regardless, anything that you can have people to show people again what it's like to have an adult conversation, where like I see it all the time. Like I have someone at our hip hop class who the lady like, we're like best friends now, you know, but like when we first got there, there was a little bit of friction because we told her like, we're not going to wear the mask. And I was super nice about it. I said, I'll be outside if you want me to be outside. I'm just not going to do the mask. It's just not my thing. And now, you know, our conversations are so awesome. And we like over months, we have come more like this.
Yeah.
Coming closer to each other.
Because you find that common ground.
Yeah. And like, but it took time and it took face-to-face conversation, not like.
Yeah, that's like, the thing too. It's face-to-face. It's so easy to troll people. You
yeah.
know? On the internet, it's keyboard courage. Most of the things people say, they would never say it to your face.
Never.
It would not happen.
Never. Yeah. Never. Trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers.
and now you don't even have to have like your real page.
Yeah, I mean,
completely anonymous.
Wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight.
TikTok is epic. No, TikTok is epic for the trolls. And it's never like, whenever I get hateful comments, it's always like user 900-4567. Like, I'm like, it's always
zero
like,
photos.
You don't exist. Yeah, it's always.
And like my dad was like, growing up, my dad always like taught me like we're big into like honor culture. Like you got to defend your honor, your family's honor. And like my great grandfather killed someone at a cockfight in Cuba. Like there's a crazy story that my dad told me. So this is the world that I came from, right? So I had to readjust, and I learned this through experience and through some of the people that we follow, is that if you're in person, it makes sense, right? But if you're online, it's inverted. If you're online, if you defend your honor, which I did for so long, and it was such a waste of time defending my honor, defending Robert when people are attacking Robert, because Robert didn't care, because Robert's an adult and I'm a little bit of a baby sometimes. like you lose. If you engage, you lose online. So that's like what my learning now is, like, you know, if you're online, if you're going to engage, then, you know, be a civil person. You know, and if the person can't be civil, I just block them now.
You just block them. You're not going to ever see them anyway.
No, or you could just say, hey, man, I really appreciate you helping the
algorithm.
That's what I do. That's what she said. Especially on TikTok. I'm like, man, you guys got me so many views. Thank you. I got 1,000 followers out of that.
I really do. Yeah. And then you do your next TikTok move. Like, what?
Bro, wait till you see this TikTok because she was working on it.
Oh, my gosh. It's I don't so know. Good. Let's see. It's not doing that well. Let's see.
People... Oh, you already posted it?
Oh, yeah. I posted it.
Oh, okay.
It's his.
I'm going to text, I'm gonna text it to you.
Hilarious. Yeah. He'll text it to you. It's so funny. But, okay. So, first, let me say about this next question. It can really be about anything from entrepreneurship to coaching, local community things, and even corporate America. But what would you say to someone who wants to step into a leadership position? What does it take to become a leader?
I think that when you want to become a leader, there's three things. And I look at it when I'm teaching my kids when they are, you know, as they grow up, that we all have to be three things. And that's a scholar, an athlete, and a leader.
I like it.
Right? And then so if you are those three things, you're going to be a well-rounded individual and ready to lead an organization, right? And so a lot of people are like, why does it matter if you're an athlete? I know plenty of people that are great that are an athlete. Well, one, I'm sorry to say, but if you're not fit, right, you are behind the power curve because for some reason people look at you as being lazy.
Very true.
Right? And it may or may not be true, but that's just a perception that happens. So that's one part of being an athlete. Also, you have an increased amount of energy, right? So when you wake up in the morning and you go on that run or you work out any way that you prefer, you have such a boost of energy that lasts throughout the day that you can just get things done, right? And then obviously with being a scholar is being prepared and knowing what you're dealing with and what you're working with and what you're going through throughout the day. And then being a leader, you are the person, there's a difference between a manager and a leader, right? And a lot of people confuse it and think that they're the same, right? So a manager points and tells people where to go, right? They're directing. A leader has people that are following them, right? And then so the problem is a lot of people don't know how to become that leader, right? Because the world right now these days we're filled with fake alphas, right? Fake alpha is the real pandemic.
Oh my goodness.
That's a big one.
Right?
Yeah.
So bad. Man.
Yeah. So many fake alphas, and I'm not talking about Danny, I don't mean you, but I think the new uniform or the new thing for all these fake alphas is like the long beard. Have you noticed that? Like that's
yeah,
like
but
the
then
thing,
they but then they right? also have skinny jeans, so it's like it cancels out. Or they're But you're right though, the beard is like this thing now, and it's like all of a sudden it's like that it's like what do you call it? Stolen valor.
Yeah, exactly, man. You got this beard. I'm like, you ain't no alpha, bro. No, but in order to, no one shows up the first day and they're the leader of the pack. You know what I mean? You have to learn how to follow first. We have this saying, when in charge, be in charge, right? So if I'm in a situation and somebody is already the leader right now, I don't need to go in there and try to undermine that person, try to take over. Hey, kick back, listen, understand the situation. What does it take in order to win? And soak all that in. Then when it's your turn to be in charge, time to step up and be in charge. Be ready. Don't worry about what your next calling is. Don't worry about what your next position is. Just when you're called for it or when you're put in that position, be ready for it, because there's so many people that are calling to be in charge, and then they can't step up to the plate when it happens.
Yeah,
right.
Dude, that's such a good thing that you're telling the kids that, because, like, number one, for example, I'm a really good Delta. Like, I'll be an Alpha when there's a need, but like I find so many people in my life who are Alphas, or maybe they're just a leader in that field. And I just learn from them and attach myself to them. And it just so happens that a lot of the time when I go out into the world, now I become an alpha in that field when I'm needed, like you said. So like what you're talking about, if I understand you right, is like you're telling your kids, it's not the position of leadership. It's the It's the preparedness. It's the example that you set. It's a character. Yeah, it's part of who you are, you know. And so you're living this life, and people will follow. And it's not because you desire. A lot of the time, you know, a lot of the time, it's the motivation. You can't really tell what's in someone's head. But like, we're Christian, so like we're really big into that, because, you know, Jesus is not about observing the Sabbath. He's about, why did we observe the Sabbath? Because, you know, devotion to God. So if I'm out here curing people on the Sabbath, or if I'm out here doing something on the Sabbath, my heart is in the right place. I'm not here to follow the law. So it's the same thing with leadership. If you're proud to be a leader because you want to be useful, which, like, that's a big thing for me. I love to be useful. Then you're doing it for the right reasons. If you're proud to be a leader because you want, you know, the star, or, you know, the pair, you know, whatever goes on your uniform or whatever it is.
That's not a real leader.
That's not a real leader. Yeah.
That's not
and it just so works out that that type of person doesn't get the position. So it always works out well.
It always works out, because, like you said, a leader, first of all, leads by example. So people follow you because they're following your example, and you have to do all those things first before you tell other people to do these things. And also, another thing that I think is important is just leaders are able to always remain coachable and be students forever.
Yeah.
Because there's always stuff to learn. You realize that there's people that are experts in other things, and there's always something to learn. So yeah, I love that. I love the scholar athlete. And you did, and I like that you mentioned athlete. I know that you're not saying, like, you don't have to be a professional athlete, but you have to stay physically fit.
And capable.
And you know, I've been not thrown, but kind of into a leadership position recently. And I've been able to be around a lot of successful people, and they all say the same things. Like, you have to be, in the end, even though you can be successful, something's going to get you there. If you're not physically fit, your sleep, something is going to catch up to you. You have to be healthy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And people are, you notice it, you guys were stranded and waiting on the tow truck, and your level of fitness, people are drawn to you. People are drawn to, because they know you're doing something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Something you're doing right. And I want to know what that is.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't help it with the height. I mean, if you're born short, because the height is a thing too. Everybody's looking at tall people, and it's like automatically your advantage, you know? But like, you could be a short person who's in really good shape, you know, and you will start to command, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder.
Hey, but if you want to get on the Olympia stage, it's always the short guys, right? But not all of them, but for the, 99%, right? But I got a question for you.
Like, how 5'11 and 3/4, oh my gosh, man.
He always says this. I'm like, give yourself the quarter inch.
No, I can't. Because so many people lie about their height.
I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to say you're 6 feet, right? So, all right. Would you give up 4 of those inches? To be
absolutely
more
not. Not even close. Never. No.
No way, no. Right?
Never. No, no, no. Even if you would have asked me when I was like in high school or in college, I would have said no.
Yeah, no.
I'll wait.
I say no too. Like,
yeah. I'll wait.
Yeah. Like, you're not down. If you wouldn't like him either, if he was up.
I would be her height. You're 5'6 or 5'5?
I'm 5'5.
Yeah, oh, I would be just a little bit taller. Like, if she wore heels, forget it.
Yeah. I don't think Sandra would be down. She'd be like, nah, I'm looking for a new love.
See, we're aging ourselves, bro. We're old. You know that, right? Like, you know we're old.
I'm not as old as you guys.
We are. So when we're, all the people that we're hanging out with, we're a lot older than them, you know, but we don't look as old.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the very true.
Important part.
Yep.
it's the melanin in our skin blocking the ultraviolet rays.
I swear, man, like, there's so many people that I know that have that age so well. I mean,
but we're Latin, we don't
look
we don't.
At Jennifer Lopez. She's like 70 years old.
Oh my gosh, I always talk about this. People have probably heard me say this a million times, but have you seen that meme? Every time I see it, it cracks me up because it's so
Sophia.
True. It's Sofia Vergara and J-Lo, and it says, Latinas be like, I'm 100 years old.
And they say the same thing. Black don't crack.
It's true, though. It's true.
Yeah.
It is. It's good.
We got the good genetics.
There's certain benefits. There's certain other things. But all right. So five. So, yeah, it's like, how do I segue into this? So, like, first of all, Sandra's involved with Black Star. That's awesome. But, yeah.
That's funny though, because you were talking. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I get it.
Yeah, because Roy knows a little bit about the questions. We talked to Roy about, like, just in passing before we were going to start. And we this question that I asked him, he asked for some context. And I was like, you know what? Let's let it all talk about it all, because in the last 5 years, there's been so much craziness, you know? And so, like, part of this is like, I wanted to know just how the kids have reacted to your transformation and Sandra's transformation. But, you know, it could very well also stand for how have the kids reacted to everything going on in the last 5 years. So however you want to, like, go between, you know, between those topics, I'm just curious because we talked about this, you know, mixed couple, mixed kids. It's a lot more accepted now. Back in the day, like, I know a lot of people that told me, like, older people that are mixed, they said, like, it used to say that you're mixed, but you wouldn't, it would be like an issue with certain, like, but now you don't say you're mixed anymore. A lot of people will pick a race. I don't know. Have you seen that? Yeah. I see that a lot.
No.
It's
true. And my kids, so I have three kids and their ages span like very widely. So my oldest is actually 21.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I know. And my youngest is 12, right? So my daughter is 12. And so out of the three kids, so Sandra is Korean, but she's mixed also, right? So she's mixed with Korean and white. And I was talking to my daughter the other day. She was sitting down and she was playing a game, and it was like an anime style game, right? And so I just asked her a question. I was like, hey, I'm just curious, what side do you identify most? Right? And this is going to like cause crap or whatever. But so she actually said it. She's like, I identify more with my Asian side. Right? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, I want you to learn and embrace both sides. And a lot of it is, because she sees my mother-in-law, so her grandmother on her mom's side, the most out of her family, right? She sees her the most. And so she identifies very much with her Asian side. But I think it's important for me to explain to her that when you're outside, people just call you
black. That's the thing now, that you, right? you don't say mix anymore. You don't. It's so true. It's. I don't know how that happened, you know.
Well, and then when you look at her too, you know, she's shaped and she looks like a little black girl, right? And so she, you know, there's no hiding it. That's you. And so it's important for me to teach my kids both sides and how society is going to view them in the, in the world, right? And what they do. And it's I forget what, there was a music video one time, and it was a black kid. It was a rock and roll song. I forget the name of the song, but the video was a black kid moved to another neighborhood, and it was like a white neighborhood, and like they wanted him to join the track team and to play football and all this stuff because he was the new black kid, but he wasn't very good. It was just like, man, like, what do I do? But because there's just certain things that there's certain stereotypes, whether they're good or bad, right, that kind of come along with whatever race you are, right? So my poor girl, Sandra, my wife, she's just not very good at math. She's really not, right? it's so funny. She'll be doing something, and she'll be like, what's this number? And it's okay. I'm like, dude, that's like,
you know, just kind of doesn't that come with, like, in the factory settings? Like,
yeah.
You
know? Yeah, exactly. I'm like, man, I picked the wrong one. Okay.
It's all good.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
Oh man, no. So you know, you can play along with it a little bit, but I think it's so funny because like two out of three of my kids, I feel like only one confirmed is my daughter, but really identify more with their Asian side. My middle son definitely identifies more with his black side. And but it's just something, as they get older, they're going to go through those phases. And I think it's important that they embrace both sides, really, because it's both them, right? Like Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods is all mixed up, but everyone's like,
yeah, that's it's crazy. It's so that's true. It's weird.
So, is it fair? No, it's not fair. They should be able to be, you know, and embrace both their sides and be who they want to be that day.
Right. Yeah, especially if like you know, there's a big difference between saying I identify with my Korean side versus my black side, because like black, what is black? You know, like black is not like this, like, oh, they are of the black people, you know,
there's a ton of black Cubans.
Yeah. And we like, you know, there's culture associated with like a country, which even that is, but at least it's something that you can say like, okay, this is the type of food we eat in Korea. I guess you could say that for black people, but it's still kind of like, it's like the same thing as saying American, like not every American eats cheeseburgers and fries, you know, it's like.
Right. But there's a difference, right? So there's African Americans. I don't really say that much. I just usually say black people, but you got African Americans, but you also have, just like you guys just mentioned, you got the African Latinos, right? And so, they're
distinct.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're slightly different too, though, right?
The black people that like all my Jamaican friends, my like my Cuban, Dominican, they will say those black people. And it's like, you are dark. Like your skin is dark, but you are not, you're a Dominican. Like it's just kind of like what we grew up with, you know? Once you get into society, especially if you came from DR, like, or you came from somewhere else, then you realize, oh, I'm black. You know, it's like, oh, I'm a black person. Like just how I realized I was Cuban. Like I was just, you know,
because when you're in Miami, you're in a bubble.
Everybody's Latin. Everybody's, you know? Cuban. And like, even like, you know, you have like
different Latin culture. So it's not everybody's. So not everybody's Cuban, right? There's Cubans, there's Venezuelans, there's Colombians. But Danny realized when he left Miami, now he's just like Mexican to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Latinos are just Mexican to a lot of people.
And it's like, guys, we don't talk the same. Mexican. We don't eat the same. Yeah. It's like, so it's definitely interesting. But I think the difference between what I'm saying and what you're saying is that like a child, you know, a child who has a decent amount of melanin in them, like maybe like at least a quarter or half, is gonna be broken down into black and then everything else.
Yeah.
Which is odd because it's like, you know, you could be Ethiopian and you have nothing, you have no idea what fried chicken is. You don't know, you know, like, or you could be, you know, all this other. So it's like, you know, automatically it's, I don't know. I guess
you're talking about like the culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's, you're talking about skin color and culture. It's a big difference.
Culture, exactly. Skin color and culture are completely different.
Yeah. And to talk about culture, I actually talked to her about this too, is everybody loves black culture.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Everybody loves it. It's
that's
like,
so true.
Yeah.
I mean,
sports.
People are tanning. Sports, they're tanning until they're burnt. They are getting
fake tan.
They're getting lip injections, everything, right? Everything. Everyone loves black culture. That don't mean they love black people.
That's a good point.
Just letting you know, right? It's two different things, right? So you have to understand that, you know, people want to watch in the movies. They want to hear your music. They want to get cornrows. They want to get box braids. They want to do, and like, and that's all. I think that's great that everybody is, you know, wanting to be a part of everybody's culture. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I want to go down to Miami and party like I'm Cuban. Yeah. I really do.
Yep. Some croquetas.
It's just, you know, yeah, I mean, I think that's just like, that's one of the beauties of being in America too, right? Is that you can go and experience all these things, right? But then if you're going to do that, right? Don't go to Miami and party like you're Cuban, but not want to be down with Cuban
that's
people.
The thing. I think it's easier to do that now because of the internet. So it's like, you don't have to go. Like for me, when I went to Colombia, we were right next to Harlem. So if I wanted anything like cheap clothes, all types, I would go into Harlem and then I would be seeing what life is like in Harlem. But now if I'm living in Missouri or I don't know, somewhere, and like I see what's on the TV, now I'm saying that's what Black culture is like. And then I'm like, I'm going to hold on to it, but I have no idea what it's like to step into a Black household and eat with them and sit down and break bread with them. So that's a big difference. And I totally like accept it, but like not as like, this ain't a costume. Like let's really get to know each other. I think that's how, again, embrace what we were talking culture. About. Like we gotta maybe not embrace it, but at least learn it.
Learn.
Yeah. Like I could at the end of the day, I could say, you know what? I don't like chitlins. I'm not going to eat them.
Yeah. I don't like chitlins too. You know what's funny? So I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, right? So obviously there's a large amount of white people in Salt Lake City, Utah. But what is so great about it, and people have no clue what it's like to live here, is that I was at my daughter's soccer match one time, and one of the moms was curious about, I can't even remember the question, but she was curious about something about Black people.
That's the best thing to do.
She just like, no. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, I explained it to her and then we moved on about our day. It's like, don't be quiet. If you got a question, just ask me, right? Now, some people might get offended, which is dumb, but I think the people here are so great and they really wanted to know us and really wanted to be a part of our lifestyle. And so she just asked the question. I explained it to her and she was so happy. I was happy. It was great, right? So, hey, if you haven't visited Salt Lake City, you need to, because it's a great place with great people. And I live here, so, you know.
The people are amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. But then on the flip side, though, so we have that whole cultural thing that we went through, but we also talked about our food and eating healthy. I talked about health in the Black community and stuff like that. So I do have my kids eating closer to a paleo type approach to their meals. I really push, like I said, athletics and for them to be involved in those things. And we have to be the example. Like, our most important jobs as people are parents, right? That's our most important job in this world. And to be a leader in our household. And so that's one of the things, right? Hey, they see me going to the gym. They see Sandra going to the gym. And so they want to go too, right? And so later on today, my kids and I are going to the gym. So they have memberships and we're going to
I can't wait till
mine
are old enough.
Yeah, they don't.
We're like in that phase where Desmond could work out.
We can't do it until 14.
But they don't let him. Yeah. We could probably, Jilda.
Ours is, I think, it might be 13 or 14, but my daughter looks older, so sorry. Don't bust me.
Please.
That was me. I looked like this when I was like 10.
It's stupid age thing. Like, it's like you could be 12 and not be ready. Because that's why when I was learning about the strength and conditioning, like CSCS. Yeah. So CSCS? I had my CSCS when I was a strength coach, and I remember like one of the things, it was like, you know, for boys, it was like, you know, it was, I think, 12 to 14. And for girls, it was like 11 to 13 that you could start resistance training. And those are good things to have. But if you're doing like, if you're pumping out 50 pushups at like 9 and you could do like perfect squats, like, let's throw some weight on, you know? But then at the same time, if you're 12 or 13 and you can't do a squat without your knees buckling, then there's no use of putting weight on your back, you know?
Right. Did I tell you that I tested my kids? I had them go out. I had them each, my two youngest, had them each run a 10, a 20, a 40, and do a standing run.
Ooh, that's good. It's like a little combine.
They could guess each other.
You should do that for the boys.
Yeah, and so my son's 14, my daughter's 12, right? And I actually did this last year, so they were a year younger. And so my daughter actually won the 10-yard sprint. My son won the 20 and the 40, but she won the broad jump.
Wow.
So she has a little bit more power.
Because that's the boys are always a little bit behind with the development. Give him another year, forget it. Once that test kicks in, because like he's getting little spurts right now, then there's going to be a time when it's going
to
be.
That is so interesting because, you know, we are like genetically predisposition to like certain types of activity. Like she, obviously, by being fast in that sprint, she's got more power.
Yeah.
She's built for like that, those power.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I know what you're saying. Like genetically, like yeah, like me.
You're built to sprint. Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, yeah, like my genetics, like I'm all like fast twitch. Like
yeah.
Robert, when we did Robert's, like his was like a lot slow twitch. So Robert could be like 190 off season, no prep, do a marathon. If I did that, I would die.
Right, right.
I had to like really I'd have to work up to that. I love this, bro. All of this is great, man. You know, the kids watching you guys, I'm sure they've been able to see that. And now just like them joining you, that's a dream. That's a dream for us. Well, bro, we had a great conversation, man. Before we let you go, tell us where people can find you online and then give us Sandra's, because I didn't know Sandra had another account. I was looking for it. So tell us all the accounts. We'll put them all.
Listen.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, dude, we got all the accounts. So there are, I'm about to spit out
we're used
accounts,
to that.
Right?
That's what we do. We got a lot
Instagram
of
Instagram limited.
So we have, I know, because everybody's got their own, right?
Instagram doesn't let me anymore. They're like, you have too many accounts. I'm like, shush.
Yeah.
Oh, because every time you think of a good one, like, oh, I gotta lock this down.
I love it.
Right? I do that for
same,
me
too, bro.
Too. Somebody just had to buy one.
Yeah. I gotta buy, it's like the domains are renewing. I'm like, okay, I'm keeping them there. Another $15 for the year. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Exactly. So, of course, let me just start off with Black Star with two R's, nutrition.com. And then we have also on Instagram, Black Star Nutrition.
I can't believe you got that domain too. BlackStarNutrition.com. When I saw that, I was like, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I had to jump on it, man. I also have, I haven't pushed anything on it, but I also have Black Star Fitness.
That's in the future. Like, Robert, you got to put brick by brick, baby.
And then for Instagram, our main page that everybody kind of knows us from is Keto Conduct. So at Keto Conduct. And then with my... I have a small Instagram page. I just kind of started push stuff out, and that's Ross Optimize.
Optimized. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. I found him.
All right. And then with Sandra, it is at Deco underscore curves, and that's DEKKO underscore curves. All right. So, yeah, we'll be pushing out content on all of those. So, Sandra's Deco Curves is more focused on the lifestyle tip, right? What she's wearing, what she's eating, and then some Instagram booty poses. You know how that is, Mara?
Yeah. I'm a fan. Like sometimes and I take then, those pictures,
oh yeah, well, and me too. I'd be like, okay, but this time you got to poke it out a little bit more. And then on the
yep,
and then on mine, I'm going to be pushing more of the tactical fitness stuff. That's a little, I guess, quote unquote, harder than what we push on Keto Conduct, right? I may even show you guys me shooting some guns or stuff like that, right? So that's the Ross Optimize and overall life optimization. And then, of course, our Keto Conduct page where we're dropping recipes and things like that. And then Black Star Nutrition. But
she just looked at a picture of Sandra. She was like,
I'm like, looking good.
It's like, she's looking at you.
Yeah, that's my baby mom, y'all. It's my baby mama. Can you believe she used to be 300
crazy.
Pounds?
It's crazy.
That's insane,
yeah.
Right?
No. She's amazing. Yeah.
And then so some of the places we're going to be this summer. So we are definitely going to Omaha for the Omaha Keto Summit. Hopefully
for sure.
We'll see you guys there. And then in October, we are going to – I'm actually the MC for the Las Vegas Keto Conference.
Oh, my gosh. That is freaking awesome. You're going to be an MC.
Yeah. So if you want – dude, I might even spit something. I might even drop bars up there.
So I'm good, if it's something that's written. If it's something that I have to come up with, it's... But let me... I could rap my butt off, you know, just with lyrics. But I can't freestyle.
Oh. Well, I mean, anybody can freestyle, man. If you write enough, you can freestyle. Like, you can drop a couple, a little bit here, a little bit there.
The way I see it, I got four...
I haven't rapped in a long time.
There's MCing, DJing... graffiti and breakdancing. I did b-boying, you know, I did that in middle school. I could DJ. I bet you if you put me on some turntables, I could still DJ and I could still do graffiti. So the MCing is the one that I'm just not.
No, I only got you're better than me, man. I only got 2 out of 4, man. I could B-boy and I could MC, but my artwork was no bueno. No, and yeah, so no. And I did have some records. I did have like an old school Bobby Brown, gosh. Don't Be Cruel record.
That's so good.
That's all I had.
Yeah, man. When I was in college, like my roommate, we had a set of turntables in our room. It was great. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah,
that's fun.
Oh y'all were, yeah, with vinyl.
That was in New York. That was when I was in New York.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was in New York. Oh,
well, bro. Oh, thank you.
Goodness.
Absolutely, absolutely. You guys are gonna have a blast. The kids will have a blast. Fun. You know, they're gonna come. They're gonna
be. Oh, yeah, you are coming in August. Yeah, beaches, all the beaches.
Yep.
For sure.
And thank you guys so much for having me. I know you're in Salt Lake. I'm like,
well, we're gonna be in.
We're gonna be in St. George in September.
What is that, like 2 hours away?
No, it's a little further.
It's a little bit long, about three and a half hours or so like that. But
in the same state, we'll go. Guys, for sure, we'll do it.
I'll climb the highest peaks in the widest sea.
And it's so gorgeous. Oh, that's a good time too, huh? Because it's like, that's so gorgeous over there.
Yeah, it's not too hot. To go see all the red rock.
So pretty.
Well, bro.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. And we'll talk to you soon.